Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at denverfan.com. Presented by Siltahar Motors. The car buying experience is as easy as call, click, or come in at Siltahar Motors. Get upfront trade value with one call. Research and compare vehicles at sthmotors.com. Or come in and ask for Greg Larson and get $500 off any purchase. Siltahar Motors. Easy to find and conveniently located right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth. Siltahar Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
How we feeling, everybody? How are we feeling? Happy Friday. Long weekend ahead, Memorial Day weekend coming up this weekend, Monday, Memorial Day. Thank you so much to those who have served and those who continue to serve as well. Game 6 tonight. Did not think that this is a game that we'd be playing. The Oilers of all people are the team now sitting back and gaining that extra rest. So is tonight the night? Does this team bounce back? And in your mind, do they have to win tonight?
No, they don't have to win tonight. I mean, because obviously you have game 7 here. And game 7, let's face it, game 5 was an absolute, it was a dominant, one of the most dominant periods I've ever watched in hockey. You have that in you. Like, again, I know St. Louis is like, man, we've got grit, and man, we've got this. And I know what they're saying. I know how they're feeling. But deep down inside, they know that the Avs are a much faster, more talented, better team. And they're counting on the goaltender, Darcy Kuemper, not being great. But the Avs have to look at it from the standpoint of, you didn't beat us, we beat us. You have to go that way. And then you have to say, if we skate and play this style of hockey, they don't have a chance. They don't. And that's how I have to approach this game.
But what you're saying right there, if you're channeling what the Avs are thinking right now, that fits with the idea of you close it out tonight. Because to me, tonight, you better fix it tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Because at least going into tonight, you can take what happened in game 5 and you can pass that off as,
correct.
Hey, yeah. All right, we let up a little bit. Lesson learned. Okay.
And you can show it on film. You can show it on tape to your guys.
Exactly.
Like, hey, listen, if this is how you're going to play, we will be playing in game 7.
Right. So you can, I'm not saying blow off what happened in game 5, but you can sort of, in your mind, as a player,
rationalize it, right?
Great word. You can rationalize away what happened in game 5 by saying, all right, okay, yep, we let up, lesson learned, we won't let off the gas next time.
Not going to do that again.
Fine. Now go on, take care of business. We're the better team. We know we're the better team. Mm. We believe in our process. Let's go do it. Lose tonight. Now all of a sudden, you can't just rationalize stuff away.
No.
Now it's, is this happening again?
Right.
Is the second round curse real?
Yeah.
Can I trust my goaltender? Do we have to change goaltenders?
Mm.
Do we have to drastically shake up the lines? Now all of a sudden, all these other things creep into your mind other than just, all right, lesson learned from game 5. See how it can really start to magnify and spread.
If they lose tonight, Mike, then game 7 just gets a whole lot tougher, mentally. You know, it's very much like going on a run in the NFL. Like, I started one season in Washington 11-0. I started one season here in Denver 13-0. And all the little things that you're overcoming, you know, a couple of holding calls, offsides calls, you know, like, hey, when you're winning and you're in the middle of a 7, 8, 9 game winning streak, what are the coaches supposed to do? They'll say, hey, guys, we can't have this. It'll cost you a game eventually. And you're like, oh, yeah, all right, got to fix that, you know, and then you just keep out thumping people. And then eventually what happens, you lose a game. And then everything that the coaches said, they put it up on film and go, okay, here's what we talked about. This is why this is going to hurt us. Bam, here it is. Made us, you know, second down and 17. We didn't convert. We missed the field goal. Bam, we lose a game. You know, they'll point that out during the course of that game that you lost. and say, and it refocuses you. It re-energizes you. So for the Avs right now, you lose that game after a 3-0 lead where you're dominating a hockey game. Now you're going, okay, these are the things that are going to catch us. And if we don't rectify and fix these things, we're going to lose and we're going to push ourselves into games.
I don't want anything to do, thanks to our listeners in Bomar for making 104.3 The Fan part of your day. I don't want anything to do with a Game 7.
I don't either.
Too many, I know I've been joking this week about how, hey, this is following the exact same pattern that the last Stanley Cup winning team for the Avalanche went through. They swept their first round series. They blew a 3-1 series lead and ended up winning a Game 7 at home. I was at that Game 7 against the Kings, and there was tension, a lot of tension in that building. Like, why are we playing this game?
Mm-hmm.
But as you correctly point out, unless you tell me that I've got Joe Sakic, Peter Forsberg, Ray Bourque, Rob Blake, Patrick Waugh, mm-hmm. all walking through that door in their prime to play a Game 7, I don't want anything to do with it. So to me, this is the night.
Do you trust?
Tonight is the night.
Do you trust?
And I'll be gripping if they don't. I'm right. Uber confident for tonight. Stink, I am very confident tonight. Lose tonight, I'm rattled. I'll admit, I'm rattled.
This, to me, is where you start, as good as they are and as much talent as they have, and they've got a ton of it, this is where you start to honestly carve out your statue. Not the Mount Rushmore, but, you know, your Ring of Fame candidacy or whatever. It's playoffs. It's come this time of year. It's like what McKinnon did last game. Those are the things. But you've pointed this out a million times, Mike, and I hate to give you credit because...
You hate to give me credit.
Because I just hate to give you credit.
Yeah, let's just leave it at that.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't even need a qualifier.
No,
do I?
You
I
just hate to give you credit. Me credit. Right.
Right. I don't need to put a and but in there.
Mm-mm.
No. I just hate to give you credit.
Right.
But I'm going to give you credit, so you know it bothers me. It is about what you do in the playoffs and championships. You want to, if Nathan McKinnon wants to be mentioned, and I know it's a while ago, but if you want to be mentioned in the hollow, like the hallowed circle, the Valhalla, if you will, of Avalanche hockey, you got to sack up this time of year.
Gabe Landeskog. Same thing.
Gabe Landeskog.
Gabe and Nathan McKinnon. You want to be this generation's Sakic and Forsberg? There you go.
Makar. You want to have a Borky-esque? Like, that's what it comes down to. Hey, Kemper, do you want a video tribute after they let you go? Next year? It is time. Yeah, if you want the video trip.
If you do, well, no. Here's the motivation for Kemps.
Okay.
If you don't want to be just simply a video tribute guy.
Right. Ooh.
Go take care of business tonight. Get to the Western Conference Finals. Go win a cup. Because if he wins a cup.
Yeah.
He'll be here long term.
Yeah.
And then he might get his number retired.
And
but he's playing to avoid the video tribute.
Yeah.
You talk about curses.
Right. Dude, this is a lot. This is a lot on. Kemps needs to have a game.
He needs to have
one of them games that you're just like, holy, did you see that?
Yeah, I agree with you. And as we sit here right now, I'm not sure if he's capable of delivering one. This is a great take. This is from Aaron and Foco on this Is It Just Me Friday, where we give you a chance to get stuff off your chest. Is it just me, or I don't think it's one player in particular that needs to step up. As a team, there are things they need to do much better. It's a good little breakdown, by the way. It's a good hockey breakdown. They need to win more D-zone faceoffs, possess the puck. They need to actually clear the puck out of the zone, not hand it over at the blue line. Last, they need not to play to lose. This team isn't good at dump and check. When they press on the forecheck, it leads to good D-zone possession. The Blues are a sit-back and muck-it-up team. Avs must play their game for 3 whole periods. That's it.
Love it.
Good, strong hockey take. That's whole milk. That's a whole milk hockey take from Aaron in Foco.
What is Foco?
Four Collins.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
You didn't get that? You didn't understand that one?
No, because I was thinking about Foco? Like Soho. Like, I was thinking about, like, what do they call downtown? What do they call the downtown?
Oh, there's, like, Lohi.
Yeah, Lohi. That's what, like, yeah. I was thinking about that kind of. Yeah. Like, oh, where's FOCO? I was trying to think of it.
Yeah, everything's shortened now.
Right, everything has got to be a little emoji type of thing.
Everything's short.
Right.
Just quick. Bullet point. Headline. Boom.
Yeah. In and out.
FOCO.
Stick and move.
FOCO. So high. Now you got me. It's... Lohi.
You know where I live? I live in...
Eltree.
I was going to go low...
Lowtree. No, Lowtree. Lowtree. Lowtree.
Lowtree?
We don't even need to get loan in there. I'm just Lowtree.
I just was going to go low, but then TR. Lowtree.
Yeah. I live in the wood.
The wood?
The wood. By the way, somebody said, is it just me or can we revisit the Dick Vitale conversation from yesterday? No, we're not going to do that. Coming up next... More on the Avs. Do we trust Darcy Kuemper? Do we trust Darcy Kuemper? Is Kuemper playing for his job tonight? And is this Denver Broncos set to become the man? That's next.
You're listening to Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Is Darcy Kuemper playing for his job tonight, Mark Schlereth? Should he even be starting tonight?
He should be starting, but yes, he's playing for his job. I've already taken the water bottle away. Earlier in the show, he doesn't get water.
Because he doesn't work enough.
Like the first period the other day, he had like 3 shots late in the first period.
So he doesn't deserve water.
He's
okay.
Not getting water.
No water. All right.
So first things first. He shows me that he can take a barrage of shots early in the first period this game tonight. Then maybe in the second period I'll give him water, but not a full, not one of them full big Gatorade ones. I'm giving him a little one, maybe a little water bottle.
Does not get a water bottle. Okay.
No water bottle.
What else?
No squirty bottle for him.
What else?
Then I would basically say what Alex Gibbs told us all the time. I mean, I've been told this 100 times. I'm with you, win or tie. Lose, and we're going to have issues. You're going to get your ass benched. So if I'm my guy Bednar, Yips, come here. It's a boot time. You pick up your game.
Jeez. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Hey, you let a goal in. You let a softie in. Guess what? You get a free trip to the locker room. Just letting you know.
Wow.
You know, Jim Leland, you can't
say that to goalies.
You know what?
You can't. I know you would like to. Talking to a goalie is not the same as talking to an offensive lineman. You can't threaten a goalie like you threaten an offensive lineman. There's too much. I'm not saying they're soft. They're
You're
just
kinda saying they're soft.
Kinda, I am saying they're soft.
Soft,
but there's a lot of mental gymnastics going on up there. So you don't want to start getting them thinking too much. They're already thinking a lot,
right?
Don't make them start thinking that their job's on the line.
I think they should start thinking that their job's on the line. That's me.
I know that's the offensive lineman in
right.
You. But goalies are a little quirkier.
Well. Listen, I don't care. You know what Jim Leland used to say to my son every time he went out to pitch, he grabbed the ball? He'd say, hey, man, go get him. And if you walk anybody, I'm sending you to the minors. Like, how's that for?
I just don't.
Building confidence.
I just don't think. I think Kuemper knows. I don't think you need to say anything to him. And, Kuemper falls under the same, he falls into the same category that I look at everybody else, all the other important players on this team. I don't look at what happened the other night as a reason to make a bunch of changes. I think the biggest adjustment, everyone talks about adjustments.
Right.
My biggest adjustment for game 6 from game 5, your best players need to be better. That's it.
Okay, well,
I don't change anything else. I don't make game 5 right. into a big thing. I just say, guys, you know that's not you. You know what you did wrong. You know you can be better. Now go do it.
All right, our big-time players have to play big-time, okay, right?
What do you say? The big knockers. The big knockers. Knockers need
big
to come out tonight.
Need to show up and do their knocking. So, like, how do you get them to do that, Mike?
What do you mean, how do you get them to do it? You don't get them to do anything. You tell them, go be better. You are the better players. You are the better team. Go be better. And leave it at that.
But you gotta see, what you're doing is what bothers me as a player.
Because I'm telling you to play up to your capabilities you've proven in the past.
Give me something tangible that I can take to the ice. So I used to get this all the time. Hey man, you gotta stay lower. Leverage wise.
All right.
You gotta stay lower.
Right.
Hey, no bleep, Sherlock. I'm getting impaled and shoved into the quarterback. Yeah, I understand that. How about some technique help to help me stay lower?
All right, well, then
help me create leverage. So that's what I'm saying.
Do you think what happened to them the other night was X's and O's related? Or was it attitude related and focus related?
Well, I think there's attitude and focus related, but I also think that, hey, man, I'd like to see, give me something.
Was it a deviation away from the systems and the strategies that they employed so well?
Absolutely.
Okay.
But that's not what I'm talking about. That's an overview, right? That's the 10,000 foot overview. I'm talking, you go to Ratatatatatin. Whatever that dude's name is.
Mikko Rantanen.
Yeah, I'm not even talking about him.
Until he scores a goal, a real goal, he's
Ratatatatatin.
Okay, fine. Fair enough.
Yeah. So, Ratatatatatat.
In.
Until Ratatatatatatin actually, pulls his head out. And so is there something tangible that you could give him?
Be better. Stop missing the net. Stop missing the net. That's come on, let's not make it harder than it needs to be. Hey, Mikko Rantanen, you're getting good scoring opportunities. Stop missing the net.
Is there something, could you say, hey, listen, let's not worry. Let the game come to you. Let's not worry about it. Here's what I want to see you do. I want to see you be uber aggressive on the forecheck. I want to see you wipe a couple dudes out.
Okay.
Something, like I said, something tangible.
Okay. I see where you're going.
So all I'm saying is, instead of psychologically rat-a-tat-tat-a-tin, and instead of going, oh gosh, I'm so worried, I haven't scored, I was on the doorstep last game and I missed, and instead of that, saying, here's something tangible, take your mind off that. I want you to be the most aggressive dude on the ice tonight. I just want, hey, listen, you have a great game if you lead the team in hits.
Okay, that part's fair. But my message, my adjustment for game six is your best players, be better. We don't need to change anything. We don't need to make a big deal about what happened in game five. We know what we did wrong. Just go back to being who you are and do what you did in the first four games. Now, lose tonight.
All bets are off, right?
Now we're in a major adjustment mode.
Mm-hmm.
Major adjustment mode.
Right.
But for tonight, trust your players. Trust your players to be better. Four Down Territory coming up next. D-Mac's going to join us live from St. Louis in about 20 minutes. Four Down Territory, is Javonte Williams ready to make Melvin Gordon sad? That's next.
Are you ready for some football?
Is Four Down Territory.
Words cannot say how much I truly love you.
Donkey Kong Sue.
Double team, leaping high, falling hard.
Yo soy fiesta.
Hurry.
On Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan. First down.
I think the next step is just keep on building on that. Keep on growing, keep on learning every day. Because, in the league, you learn from experience. So that's the best thing about it is growing and, utilizing your time wisely so you can understand what it takes to be a pro in this league. So that's what I'm doing.
Patrick Surtain talking after Broncos OTA yesterday. If there was one criticism that we heard the most about taking him where they took him, well, two criticisms. One was, why didn't you take Justin Fields?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it'd be so much better if we had Justin Fields right now.
Right.
But the other one was, well, you're taking a corner that high, how much of an individual impact
right
does he really make? Well, as he goes into year two, what kind of individual impact can fans expect when you're going up in a division against Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert, and Derek Carr?
Well, the impact, obviously, you know, everybody wants interceptions. Everybody wants, you know, all that stuff. When you get a lot of interceptions, usually you're getting thrown at a lot, which would say to me that they feel or they see a weakness. They see something that they can expose. And, you know, the majority of interceptions, 70% of interceptions are probably on the receivers. Running the wrong routes or not running deep enough or too short, you know, all that kind of stuff. So, you know, and then 30% are errant balls and everything else are just bad decisions, dumb decisions. But, like, if you shut out half the field, man, you rotate coverage. I mean, if you can shut down one dude, right, you shut him down, there's only four other eligible guys. So now you have six on four, means there's two guys you can double team effectively. So what it gives you, a lot of times when Revis went to New England, you know what Bill Belichick would do? He wouldn't put him on the number one. He'd put him on the number two and say, you're man-to-man on number two all game long. Shut him down. Don't let him touch anything. And then they double-team the number one guy. They'd run some type of, you know, where they got safety over the top, like some type of two-trail type of coverage, or and say, hey, on that side of the field, you're man-to-man. On this side of the field, we're going to double-team this guy, and we're going to double-team, let's say it's a back out of the backfield that's really tough. We're going to double-team that guy and that guy.
So we'll know Patrick Surtain is having a really good year if basically he doesn't have much in the way of stats.
Right. Not a lot of targets, not a lot of tackles. Stats coming away, coming his way.
Nobody's going his way.
Yeah.
Okay. Next in four down territory.
Second down.
Every meeting we have, he always talk about confusion. Like, he want everything to look the same, so the defense, like, they don't know when. Like, a different play coming or something like that. So I feel like this is probably the most complex offense I've been in, but I really feel like it's going to be, like, the best because, like, you never know what's coming at you.
There's Javonte Williams. Do you think, even with the return of Melvin Gordon, do you think Javonte Williams walks around right now thinking he's the man?
Yes. Absolutely. Why wouldn't he think he's the man?
Because Melvin Gordon's back. And when Melvin Gordon was here, they split, or many times Gordon was still the primary guy. So why might that still not be the same?
Because Javonte Williams is young, budding star, and Melvin Gordon's a backup for him. That's how I look at it. Now, I don't think Melvin Gordon looks at it that way. I think Melvin Gordon looks at it like, hey, man, I've had nothing but good years the last 3 years. I'm ready to be the bell cow guy that I've always, you know, thought of myself as. And you kind of got to have that attitude. But I think there's definitely a transitional aspect to this backfield.
Next in four down territory.
Down. Just a standard procedure. We won't only talk about the people that are on our team. I mean, Dave and his staff have worked out tons of guys, you know, this spring, and we really don't make comments about the evaluations that we made or, you know, what they look like, what they didn't look like, strengths and weaknesses, those kind of things. They're kind of, you know, private, obviously, for us. You know, if players are added to the team, then obviously we'll talk about them at that point. But I respect the question 100%. I understand, but that's kind of what we'll stick to.
I will understand completely if a collective chill just went down the backs of everybody listening right now.
Right.
Because that's Josh McDaniels.
Mm-hmm.
There he is. Remember him?
All his glory.
Hurricane Josh. Anyway, talking about Colin Kaepernick's workout and did not go into specifics. I think that's the one thing about Colin Kaepernick's workout that is kind of being left out. All you're hearing is, hey, Colin Kaepernick worked out. Hey, Colin Kaepernick this. And,
right.
Well, you know what I have not heard? How was the workout? How'd he look?
Right.
Did he throw the ball well?
Well, they don't comment on specifics when it comes to workouts.
I know, that's what I just heard.
Yeah, that's what he just...
But in this case,
you want to know.
Don't you think inquiring minds would like to know? Come on, Josh, help us out.
They're not telling you.
Well, why not? He did say that Derek Carr does not need to be looking over his shoulder.
Okay, but I will say this. Now, I heard this rumor floating around there, and I can't confirm, I haven't been able to confirm this rumor, But I heard that Vance Joseph was there, and he said he looked tall.
That helps. That helps.
Yeah.
That's a prerequisite.
Yeah, he looked tall.
Gotta be tall.
Guys, good things on the horizon.
Next in four down territory.
Fourth down.
That's what you're going to see at this offense this year is it's going to be everybody. It's not going to be one guy. And obviously Travis is going to still get a lot of completions, a lot of yards, but I think the whole receiving room is going to have big days. Not that case.
Patrick Mahomes says, nothing to see here. Even with Tyreek Hill gone, the Kansas City offense is still going to be dynamic. They just may spread the ball around a little bit more.
Mm.
The old spread the ball around
yes.
a little bit more approach.
Yes.
Are you a believer that the Chiefs offense with the $500 million man, the boogeyman, won't miss that much of a beat without Tyreek Hill?
I do not believe that.
Think they will struggle?
I think they'll, I don't know if I can say they'll struggle, but there will definitely be, they'll definitely be downgraded.
So a Chiefs offense that, let's say, scored, what did they score last year? Offensively, the Chiefs scored 28 points per game. This year, without Tyreek Hill, they score
24 points a game.
Wow, 4-point difference without Tyreek Hill.
Well, think about
what are you paying Patrick Mahomes for to score 24 points per game?
Yeah, that's what you're paying him for.
That's it? Wow, I'd expect a little bit more for $500 million.
Well, what do you want, 25 points?
I'd expect him to keep him up around 27, 28, yeah.
But there is...
Maybe he's not the boogeyman. Maybe we don't have to play the song anymore.
No, come on. By the way, what do you think happened to his voice?
You mean the voice that sounds like this?
I mean, it speaks volumes to this team and, like, how much heart and determination that we have.
It's been a while since we played this. I was just looking for an excuse.
You know how your parents used to say, if you look at things cross-eyed, if you cross your eyes, they'll get stuck that way.
Like, or if you keep doing this, you'll go blind.
Yeah, exactly. You know, there's a lot of these, like, oh, wow. I wonder if he, like, was such... like a Sesame Street fan, that he always talked that way as a kid. He pretended to be...
Oh, I see. Like, he had a normal voice, but then he started...
Yeah, he always started, like, pretending to be, like, a... Huh? Cookie? You know, Cookie Monster, or, you know, and then...
Or Oscar the Grouch.
Right. You know? And he just always walked around going... And all of a sudden, his voice got stuck into Muppet. Muppet voice.
Parents. Use that. Hey, kids.
If you talk like Oscar the Grouch or Grover.
You'll end up sounding like a Muppet.
Yeah, you'll end up sounding like a Muppet.
Don't do that. That'll do it for Four Down Territory, our tour on the NFL. Bring that to you each and every morning. D-Mac joins us live from St. Louis. Tell me it's not true, D-Mac. Tell me you weren't calling for the benching of Darcy Kemper yesterday. We'll straighten that out next.
Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
He's back. He's back in a place he did not think he'd be. Maybe ever again. Other than to go watch a Nolan Arenado game. It is St. Louis, and it is D-Mac. He joins us live from St. Lou, thanks to Superbook Sports. Has it sunk in yet that you're actually back there for Game 6?
Well, it's surreal. It's like I had a dream, and I woke up and I was still in the middle of a nightmare that I'm stuck in St. Louis again. It's cloudy for, I think, the endless day in a row here in St. Louis, and a little bit chilly and bleak looking. But hopefully that's not the sink for the Avalanche chances tonight. Hopefully it's not bleak.
Yeah.
St. Louis.
Yeah, let's hope it's not bleak. And you know what? You were riding high like a lot of people after that 3-0 lead. I saw one of your tweets where it was, and I was thinking the same thing. I'm not pointing fingers. Like, hey, this game is over. It's like 1-2-3 Cancun. What happened, D-Mac? What happened to the Avalanche after one of the most dominant periods of hockey I've ever witnessed? And I watched a lot of hockey growing up as a kid. Man, that was the first period. You want to talk about a dominating performance. What happened to them? after that?
You know, that's such a great question. And, yeah, clearly it's my fault for...
Yes, yes. For, clearly you have the power.
my magical powers. I really need to find some scratch-offs. That's what I need to do. But what happened? Mark and Mike, how do you guys explain things that happen to a team that have never happened to them before? I don't know how to do it. They had never given up a three-goal lead at home this entire year, never mind the playoffs. They've always taken a lead. Now, they gave up. They were up 4-1, right, and gave up a couple of power play goals. But then they stepped on the gas. They played better defensively. Even when the Blues made it 3-2, you know, you still felt like, well, they're still dominating the game. And for the first time in the series, the St. Louis offense has dominated the game. You know where I'm going here. That's just a choke. That is just playing too defensively, playing back on your heels, and playing not to lose instead of playing to win. And I cannot believe it happened to this particular team. And then Nathan MacKinnon, I don't know about you guys, that was the greatest goal I've ever seen in person, greatest goal I've ever seen, period, considering the entire situation. And you still can't kill off another 2.5 minutes. So I would like to think going into tonight, that was not the norm, that was the exception, and they can look at themselves in the mirror tonight, and they can go out there. But I am concerned about the goaltender's confidence. I am.
Did I hear you correctly say yesterday that you would bench Kemper for tonight's game?
Well, I just don't view it the same as benching a quarterback. They've gone to Francois many times during the year to give Darcy Kemper a mental and physical break. Not like the first time. Francois has played in the playoffs. He hasn't been, like, unbelievable, but he's playing the playoffs. So it's not like they don't have confidence in him. And in my opinion, it's not like you can't go back to Kemper in Game 7 and you couldn't start Kemper in the Western Conference Finals. I just see it different. So, you know, I would at least consider it. Bednar replied to my question about that very quickly and said no. So it's not going to happen. But if I don't know, guys, 2-0, goals are soft, make the switch. I mean, there's no time to fart around here. I'm being politically correct.
Yeah.
I would consider it. You guys wouldn't?
I told Mike there was two things I would do. I'd put him on a really short leash, put him on notice. Like, hey, man, you let in a softy, it's over. The other thing I would take away is water bottle for the first period. You don't work hard enough.
That is the best. That, I heard that earlier. That is a great suggestion.
Yes, right?
He also carries a binky. So you may take away the binky as well.
Yes. No binkies, no water bottles for you, Kemper, until you show
what
me
about,
your...
What about his whoopee?
Yeah, until you show me you're a grown-up, you don't get any, you don't get a bubba. No bubba for you. What do you think? You mentioned the MacKinnon thing, but how do you get Rantanen going? Forget about the empty net goal. Like, he's right on the doorstep and can't put it in the back of the net.
You probably have to stick him back on the line with MacKinnon if you want to get Rantanen going. You probably do. And I know they love Lehkonen because Lehkonen's been an incredible player and they just want the best players on the top line. But they've done it all year. Anytime they've had somebody sort of struggle, whether it's a Nichushkin or Burakovsky and now Rantanen, it's the whoopee is MacKinnon, by the way. And Gabriel Landeskog, he's fine. You know, up or down, off that line, on that line, whatever. But if you really want to get Rantanen going, you probably got to pair him back up with MacKinnon. That would take either Landeskog or Lehkonen off that particular line. So it is interesting, Mike and Mark, that they have been messing around with that top line for the first time kind of in this series. So if you care that much about him, I guess you got to pair him up again. I don't know what else to say, though. I mean, he's the top point scorer for the Avalanche this season. And, you know, he looks a little bit lost out there. It's hard to understand.
You said something right at the beginning that was interesting. You said, what do you do after you've watched the team do something that they haven't done all season? And my reaction would be, I don't think that now is the time, after they just did something that they've never done, to do something about it. I think it's got to be, what happened the other night was so unusual, was so out of character, The last thing I'm going to do is start making a whole bunch of adjustments and perhaps moves that might reflect panic in the eyes of my players. If anything, I'm going to come out and act like, you're right. What happened the other night was an aberration. That is not us. And I trust that we're going to go back to doing the things that we've been doing all year, and I'm not going to make a lot of changes. Just go be better.
All right, fine. That's fine, Mike. But you realize he has been making changes, though, in this series, right? I mean, like, he's got Jack Johnson and Alex Newhook in that he didn't originally have in. Like I talked about, he has moved Lehkonen up to that top line, away from the second line. So I understand what you're saying. But
these have been moves that have been made before. I'm talking about making huge moves, like benching Darcy Kuemper after what happened the other night. I think that if you lose tonight, yeah, you got to make a lot of adjustments for Game 7. But I think the biggest adjustment you make after a loss is kind of similar to the adjustment that you make after they lost Game 2. Hey, your best players, be better. Be better.
Yeah, that's terrible coaching advice, though, Mike. I heard Mark give you a hard time about that. I mean, what does that mean, be better? Like, win the game. So that's like going to a Little League game. Yeah, hit the ball, Johnny. You know, no kidding, Mom. I got it. You know, I understand certain things. I agree with Mark on that. You got to give him some more mechanical or strategic advice than just be better. No offense, Mike, but I mean,
in this situation, your biggest adjustment is the players that let you down in Game 4. You challenge, you demand them to be better before you start making a bunch of huge adjustments and line changes and benchings and all of that. You trust the players that have gotten you to this point to be able to respond, much the same way after you lost Game 2, you trusted them to respond in Games 3 and 4, and they did.
Mike, well, let me ask you this then. Burakovsky's been a healthy scratch for the past couple games. He played in every game that he was healthy for this entire season. And Alex Newhook, they put back in there. He hasn't done much. J.T. Compher hasn't done a whole heck of a lot, although I really like J.T. Compher. You could tell somebody to be better by sitting them on the bench.
All right, so what is the DMAC game plan for tonight? Lay out your lines, lay out your goaltender. I want to know what you want to do, how you want them to look after what they did the other night.
I would go back to MacKinnon, Rantanen. What do you call it, Mark?
Rantanen or something. Yeah, well, it just comes out different every time.
I might do something pretty radical. I might go MacKinnon, Burakovsky, Rantanen. I'm driving Matt Smith crazy right now. And then you go Kadri, Nikushkin, and Lehkonen. I go like that. You know, you keep Jack Johnson, you have to. Your defense, you don't mess around with that much. And you may consider messing around with whether you play Kuemper or not.
I would start Francois.
I would start Francois. Hey, big boy time here, Mike.
Yeah, big boys. Challenge the guys that it's amazing. You've got a team that has done everything right all throughout the regular season, all throughout the playoffs. And after a game in which we all acknowledge, and you started the segment saying, boy, they did a bunch of things the other night that they just haven't done, you want to shake everything up, and you don't want to show any belief in the players and the process and the strategies that have gotten you this far. You just want to blow it up after what? After one?
No. Hold on. They've played Burakovsky, MacKinnon, and Rantanen a bunch together. They played Nikushkin with Kadri and Lehkonen. I mean, they've done all that. They've played Francouz. That's just going back to other things that have worked in the regular season, Mike. That's not something brand new. It's, I mean, you know, what's old is new again, I suppose. But, you know, it's not like they haven't done all those things.
So after what they've done during the course of these playoffs, you want to say, hey, let's go back to this because it worked on a Tuesday night in February against Columbus. That doesn't make sense to me.
It worked for like 6 weeks in the middle of the season when they were winning like 11 games in a row. I mean, you know, it wasn't a small sample size. And Francouz has won them plenty of games. But listen, hey, that's just my imagination on it. You're right. You got a game to fiddle with because you got a game 7 after this no matter what. And the best thing ultimately for the team is that Kuemper plays well. No kidding. I mean, I get it. But I'm just saying there's no time to mess around. If his confidence is such, You tell me, Mike, what's the score of the game where you pulled Darcy Kuemper tonight and put in Franco?
Oh, you're going to take the guy that you've established as being the guy, and you're going to bench him for Franco's. Boy, what kind of message does that send to your team?
No.
That tells you you're panicking.
But what would
I would feel? I would feel more confident
if you're down three. Like, if you're down 3-0 or 3-1, and he's given up a couple soft goals.
Sure, absolutely. But I he's been my guy all year, and I'm not going to bail on him for one bad game.
Yeah, but you can play him in game 7.
Right. So this is what you're going to do. He had a bad game in game 5. You benched him for game 6. And, hey, it's game 7. Our entire season and legacy is riding on the line. Go get him, big fella. I believe in you. Come on.
You realize that's exactly what's happening.
You not understand the psychology of an athlete? How would you feel in that situation?
Well, how do the St. Louis Blues feel? Husa was the starter against Minnesota, and they benched him for Binnington.
But they have been splitting goalies. But they have been splitting their goalies all season long. They have been splitting their goalies. What have the Az been doing all season long? Darcy Kuemper was the guy all season long.
Oh, my God. All right, whatever. I mean, Franco's played a ton, Mike. And, you know, Binnington got benched, you know, throughout the regular season and then got benched to begin the playoffs. I don't know. How soft are these athletes? Mark, help me out here.
Yeah.
I mean,
no.
What are we doing?
Listen.
So, Mark, you'd play Franco. You'd bench Kuemper.
I would not bench Kuemper, but I would put Kuemper on a short leash and say, man, you give that overtime goal, as far as I'm concerned, was soft. You know, Henrik Lundqvist even said, hey, that's when you probably ought to stop, which is athlete code for saying, holy Moses, I can't even believe he let that. That was softer than microwave butter. So I put him on, I'd let him know, hey, listen, man. Like, you're going to go out and perform, and if you don't perform, I'm going to be quick to hook you.
Kuemper played 57 games this year. Franco's played 21. Not exactly a 50-50 split. Okay?
Well, Kuemper's been your guy. How much did Husa play? How much did Binnington play this year? I don't know off the top of my head. You got to look it up, I guess.
Yeah.
But I bet it's similar.
But I, you know what? You're not the only one that looks at Kuemper, though, and I mean, the Avs, we had a texter come in. The Avs have had to put at least 4 goals up in every game to win.
Right.
You know, so
Husa played 40 games. Binnington played 37. A lot closer than 57 to 21.
That's a little bit more even.
Yeah. But listen.
Matt, I'll tell you.
I wouldn't sit Kuemper, but I would let him know that, hey, man, you don't play well. We're making a quick move.
Well, listen. We're kind of yelling at each other, or you're yelling at me, about something that I don't think is going to happen anyways. Kuemper is going to start, and I think the Avs are going to win. Mark, I love your prediction. 5-2. I'll go with 5-2. I'll go 5-2 relatively easy. Like, it's 4-1 and 4-2 and empty netter, and Rantanen gets the empty netter.
I am yelling at you because one thing has been proven in the series. You have extraordinary Jinxie Cat powers, and I just want to make sure your powers are being used for good, and that's why I'm getting after you, so that you understand the power that you possess, and you make sure you channel it properly.
Well, don't you think, and it's a thrill and a wonderful job I have, but don't you think it's punishment enough to have to come back to St. Louis again?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's a good Paul.
All right.
By the way, hey, I went to see Nolan play baseball last night.
How did you do?
Well, first of all, in this kind of weird, lousy city, that is a cathedral. Holy cow.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my first time there to Busch Stadium. And that whole area, listen, let's call it what it is. They've done an incredible job with that. What a ballpark. Absolutely gorgeous. And the Cardinals lost 4-3. But, Nolan did all right. He took a walk with the winning run on he was the winning run. He came up at the bottom of the ninth, runner on first, one out, and he almost got hit in the head. He took a walk. And then Pujols, who looks like – do you believe Albert Pujols is still playing baseball?
No.
I mean, he does not look good.
Every time he runs down first baseline, it looks like he's towing a boat.
He was pitching a couple weeks ago.
How is that an option for them, that he's the – and he's hitting 4 in their lineup? I'm like, really? Seriously? Right.
Well, at least Arenado's played in 43 games. How many games has Chris Bryant played in?
Dude, Iron Man, I was literally laughing waking up listening to that.
And by the way, Trevor Story, 7 home runs in his last 7 games, too. So
good old Tony Stark.
Oh, we got Chris Bryant. We got the modern day Iron Man. So there you go. All right, D-Mac.
Well, he said he doesn't play on losing teams, so he's not going to play until we start winning again.
Good point. He's a man of his word. He's a man of conviction. There he goes. All right, he's gone. We're way overdue. That's D-Mac live from St. Louis. Thanks to Superbook Sports.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.